there. It's Amy Schmidt, your host of the Fearlessly Facing 50 and Beyond podcast. I am so happy that you have chosen to spend time with me. As a reinvention confidence expert, along with a storyteller, I've shared quite a few things along this journey. But what I've found is the most important info to share are stories. Stories of amazing people, ordinary people, extraordinary people doing things that are going to inspire you to action. So come and join me in this space because you're going to be inspired. Let's get started. It's our time.
Hey there, it's Amy, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I'm so happy that you're here and joining in. And don't forget, if you are enjoying this series and you're enjoying what you're hearing on the podcast, don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe easily from your iPhone or smartphone just by literally going to the podcast app and subscribing to Fearlessly Facing 50. You can also do it directly off of my website, which, no surprise, fearlesslyfacing50.com. You can go to the podcast icon there and subscribe. You also can go to the website and catch up on blog posts. You can order my book. You can enroll in a new course. Very excited about that. You can also listen to past episodes of the podcast. There's over 160 episodes to get you inspired and encouraged. So make sure that you check it out. Also, my Instagram handle is new. It has been changed. It is now, wait for it. Yep, you guessed it, Fearlessly Facing 50. So if you are an IG person and like to follow along on Insta, go ahead and follow me there at Fearlessly Facing 50. So let's dig into our incredible guest today. I'm thrilled to have Katie Fogarty on the show. Katie and I go back several years, actually. We had a conversation. Boy, I think it was one of her first episodes she launched on her podcast, A Certain Age. And that's all linked to the episode notes as well. So she is just a phenomenal person, a phenomenal human. We share a lot of common interests. So I really hope you enjoy this conversation. It's been a long time in the making, and I really want to get a shout out to what she's doing and creating over there on her podcast, as well as her business that she runs. You know, if you really are interested in learning more about LinkedIn or getting your LinkedIn profile up and updated and all of that, which Katie knows that I need to do that, I just have not done that and I need to. You can go ahead and look at the episode notes and I've got it linked to her business there as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this great convo with somebody that really inspires me. I feel I surround myself with greatness and Katie is one of those people. So relax and enjoy the conversation with Katie Fogarty. Well, I'm excited for this conversation today. I have with me someone that I feel like I know, and we don't even live that far apart and have never met in person, but I have the incredible Katie Fogarty with me today. She is the podcast host of A Certain Age Podcast, I always want to say podcast, which I will link to the episode notes, as well as a really cool, I'm going to call it kind of a mission, but she's going to explain more about it. Age out loud, or, you know, her whole thing is about aging boldly. So we are going to break it down today. But most importantly, I have Katie on here because I wanted her to be part of my Surround Yourself with Greatness series. And I'll tell you why. And, you know, everybody that I've had on this show and this particular series, either I have never met in person or not, somebody that was referred to me that said, you really need to meet this person. Somebody that has inspired me in a way that I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I reached out to them just and said, do you want to do this? And then there's people like Katie that I have known throughout probably, I mean, I launched in 2019. I think she launched in 2020. You know, we've known each other and we share similarities in so many ways. And I have watched her grow. I have watched her passion. And I just really, I think you need to meet her. And I'm sure a lot of you already know her, but we're going to break it down today in her story, why she does what she does, how she does what she does, and why she's so passionate about it. So Katie Fogarty, drumroll, welcome to the show.
I am so thrilled to be with you, Amy. This is such a treat.
Oh, thank you. And you know what? We have changed this date. We have tried to meet in person, you know, and life is complicated.
Absolutely. Things derail us. But I think one of the things that you and I have in common is that even when we hit speed bumps, you know, we keep going, we get ourselves back on track. There's always tomorrow and we made this happen. So I'm so thrilled to be with you and your audience today.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you have done an outstanding job with your voice and with your platform around aging boldly with A Certain Age podcast. I'm really proud of you because you launched it. I was on your show, right? One of your first guests, I think, when you launched. Was it 2020?
Yeah, it was 2020. I launched kind of 6 months into the pandemic when I was just, you know, sometimes I joke, like, I didn't kill my kids, my husband, or my business, but I really wanted something for myself. I miss being in the company of amazing women. I miss being in rooms of people. I miss being lit up and inspired. And I needed a creative outlet. And so I launched my podcast, A Certain Age. You were one of my guests in my first season. And I just recorded my 115th show. I'm in year two. And it's been an amazing run.
Yeah, that's so good. I'm so proud of you. It's amazing. And you know what? It takes a lot of time. I mean, it takes a lot of effort. You know, some people say, oh, you just record a podcast. Well, it's a lot more than that.
No, 100%. It's, you know, I spend probably anywhere from 10 to 15 hours a week on each episode. I need to find the guests, prepare for the conversations, write the intros, the questions, you know, record, promote it. It's a lot of work. I wouldn't keep doing it if it wasn't something that I, you know, enjoyed 100%. And you know, to your point, like, I think I launched this podcast as a creative outlet, but I really feel so attached to the mission. And the mission is one that you share as well, Amy, I know, which is lifting up and spotlighting the stories of women reinventing in midlife, giving midlife women sort of the tips, the tools, the resources they need to navigate some of the hard stuff. Because exactly. You know, what it takes to be fit, to be happy, to be healthy, to feel purposeful in midlife is way different than, you know, how we did that in our 30s and 40s. So I am...
It's so different. And it's so funny because, you know, I can think of my mom being 50. I remember it, you know, she was an older mom when she had me. I'm the youngest of five siblings. And I remember her being 50 and my mom was extremely vibrant and just, you know, was always involved in everything, volunteered and did all of this stuff. But she would be very different, or she was very different than I am at 50. I think we share similarities. But she wasn't as much of a risk taker. And I don't know if it's that it's our generation, but launching a podcast, like for myself and for you, it's a risk.
Yeah. You know, to put yourself out there, to be willing to be uncomfortable, to try something new is always challenging, I think, no matter what age you are. But one of the things that I've learned, I'm 53 right now. I launched the podcast 35 days before I turned 51, because I promised myself I was going to do it when I hit 50, and you know, I squeaked it in under the wire. You know, I looked at the calendar and was like, "Oh my God, I made this commitment to myself, and I'm not doing it." So I really just got in action at the end and pushed myself into this sort of great unknown. And I'm going to tell you, the first time I hit record on a mic, I was nervous. I didn't know how it was going to go and how it would be received. And you know, there's confidence. I know you talk a lot about confidence. You help women kind of unlock that for themselves. But, you know, for me, at least, there's confidence in doing. And I think confidence is a muscle like any other muscle that Absolutely. We build when we use it. And when we put ourselves in uncomfortable situations, you know, that's how we achieve comfort. That's how we achieve success. That's how we achieve happiness.
Yeah, you're so right. It is a muscle. We have to exercise it every day. We do. We have to flex it. And when I did my first podcast, you know, I forgot to push record.
True story. Oh my gosh.
I literally danced around the room in this house, because I recorded right over there. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I did it. Like, I did it. I'm so psyched. I went back to try to find the audio file and I'm like, okay, now. And then I don't know if you get like this, Katie, but I'm sure a lot of the listeners can relate to this. You know, second guessing yourself, it sets in. It's like, oh, seriously, Amy, like, you didn't even push record on something that you're supposed to be, you know, this is a podcast. Hello. I mean, my glasses were probably on my head and I'm looking for them, you know, and there was a moment, I'll be very transparent about that, that I was like, I don't know, I don't know if I can do this. Have you had that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, I think the inner voice is something that we never outgrow. You know, this sort of this inner refrain that kind of can make us feel vulnerable or uncertain. It's something that to have an inner voice that criticizes you at times is to be human. And what I've learned is that I don't feel bad that I have this inner voice sometimes. Sometimes I'll have to tell it, you know, I'll have to remind it nicely to shut up, because, you know, I'm not listening to it any longer. And I think one of the things that I've learned at 53 is that when you try new things, when you feel vulnerable, when you make mistakes, because we all do, and we're going to continue to make them, that you don't have to be stopped by the sense of fear or that inner voice. You know, I've learned to be afraid and do it anyway. Exactly. You know, I've learned to recognize that I'm not going to outgrow being, you know, afraid. I'm not going to outgrow feeling uncomfortable when I'm trying new things. That's going to be, you know, sort of walk side by side with me probably for the rest of my life. But I've learned to not let it stop me.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that happens in midlife, you know, that you really recognize, because not a single person that's listening to this show, Amy, hasn't already gone through something hard.
Right.
You know, every single person who's listening has survived the loss of a parent, the loss of a friend, the loss of a job, a health scare, a health challenge, either for yourself or for your loved one. Like every single person listening to this conversation has already done something hard and made it safely through to the other side.
Yep.
And we take that experience and that knowledge that we can screw up, or we can, you know, navigate hard things and you know, make it through. And we apply that to other experiences in midlife. And that's why I think midlife women are unstoppable.
Oh, I agree.
100%. You know, because we have that self-knowledge that we can do hard things because we've done it before and we'll do it again.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And I do think that there are times at this period of life that are so different that are just unknowns. I mean, they really are unknowns. I mean, losing my parents, you know, moving 11 times, you know, all of those things. But all of a sudden, when you start opening the dialogue about that, you know, when we start talking about it, all of a sudden this community emerges and people are like, oh, wow, like Katie did that? Amy did that? Okay, I can do that. Like I did that.
Okay. So I am out there when it comes to like talking about things that are really on my heart and part of my personal journey. That's one reason I started the podcast. And it's another reason to share information that I find is so valuable. So I'm going to ask you this. Wouldn't you love to be able to run, skip, jump, climb a mountain, swing on a trapeze, jump on a trampoline, whatever it is, without a leaky bladder? Okay, I'm putting it out there. I know I have an editor who's a male who edits my podcast, and I'm sure he's like, okay, Amy, you're bringing it again. I'm learning so much about this. I can tell my girlfriend, my wife, my sister, my friends, whatever. But you know what? It's so important to open the dialogue on this because it's an important topic. And urinary stress, urinary incontinence is real. And you are not alone, and I am not alone. So that's why I want to share with you this amazing product that I have been using. I've been using Inovo to combat bladder leaks and strengthen my pelvic floor, which I can't tell you how many times I've pulled to a stoplight and I've heard my OBGYN saying, do your Kegels, Amy, do your Kegels. Well, you never know if you're doing them right. So Inovo's clever technology, it's non-invasive, it's not surgical. It's literally a pair of shorts. You put them on and the technology stimulates the pelvic floor to strengthen the muscles and treats the root cause of bladder leaks. You pull on the shorts and Inovo delivers 180 perfect pelvic floor contractions in 30 minutes. Literally, it's your me time for 30 minutes, 5 days a week for 12 weeks. You can read your emails. You can just have a little me time. You can do your to-do list, whatever it is. It works. It's clinically proven to work. It's non-invasive, safe, and easy to use. And you get results in as little as 4 weeks. So if you are somebody or you know of somebody that is suffering from bladder leaks, let's open the dialogue about it. Let's be transparent. We're women. We've had kids. This is part of it. So you know what? There's a great code. You go to myinovo.com. You use the code AMYK100, AMYK100 for $100 off. It's amazing. Get your starter kit. Let me know how you like it. And you know what? You'll be leak-free just like me. And it's an amazing, empowering, confidence-boosting feeling. Check it out. MyInovo.com and use the code AMYK100. $100 off.
And you made a good point about community early on. And you said you launched in 2020 because you were missing being in a room with people and you missed being encouraged by women. I kind of find myself to be a girl's girl. I'm not a girly girl, but I do enjoy the company of women. Men too. I love having conversations with them, but there's something about women and community that really energizes me. You know, it's not an empire, not a energy vampire, right? That's like one of those buzzwords right now. I love having conversations with women. I have some real pillars in my life that I go to that really hold me up and support me. And the majority of those pillars are women. Do you feel like you kind of share that? You made that reference about, you know, you missed engaging with women.
Oh, 100%. You know, I'm a product of an early Catholic girls' school education. The women that I met there are still in my life. I will be getting together with them the Monday before Thanksgiving, as we've been doing for 30 years for our annual, like, our Friendsgiving. I think of these women as family, you know, they're like cousins. Like, even if I don't see them regularly, like just to put us together around this table, like I'm scared for the waiter because we love being together. We get rowdy. I have women friends from college in every facet of my life, my town. I have friends that I met through playing platform tennis. I have work friends, you know, I've deliberately cultivated that. And I can thank my mom for that because she had a rich network of women in her life and she modeled that for me. And, you know, I think I'm modeling that for my daughter, you know, to really find community with women because they will lift you up. They'll support you. They'll be there for you when times are hard. They'll be there. Sometimes I joke, like my friends remember my first set of eyebrows, you know, it's like who else in my life remembers
exactly
when I had like my sideways flock of seagull hair got cut, you know, and like big, thick caterpillar eyebrows, like, you know, like your old friends do. And, you know, you and I both have made a new sort of rich life of midlife friends.
Right.
You and I are connected. You came on my show 2 years ago. We've stayed in touch over social media. We're having this conversation now. I feel like I know what your kids are up to because you share, and I love that. And I am never going to stop making new friends, never going to stop cultivating having women relationships.
Yeah, I think they're so important. And I call them unexpected treasures. Because they come into your life at these times. But then again, there's also times, and I know you talk about it too, because you've dealt with, you know, friendship on your podcast, as have I, you know, there are different seasons of friendships.
Yes.
And it's difficult sometimes for women to release some of those friendships that they might've had that just aren't feeding them in the way they used to. But that's a season of life as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have women that were, you know, sort of in my playgroup circle when my kids were really young that I loved spending time with in the park. But, you know, as our paths took us in different ways, we've sort of let go. Some of that's easier because those were definitely more like situational friendships around a certain life stage. You know, I think maybe what you're sort of referring to too is it's hard when you have a, like a friendship divorce, you know, when there's something that really truly changes and the dynamic shift. And you know, I don't know that I've had a divorce, but I've had some like near misses. And you know, I think that it's always painful. And I think that, you know, it probably gets a little bit easier to navigate as you get older, just because I feel like I'm, as a person, I'm much better about having honest conversations with everyone in my life, with my husband, with my kids, you know, with clients. And I feel like the ability to be more honest is something that can help people through sort of the treacherous waters, maybe as friendships start to shift.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. I completely agree. Let's talk about, you know, Mike, your husband reached out to me because he was doing This Is Brightly, right?
Yes, exactly.
And I remember we made a connection around that. And I know that you've been married a long time, just like Tim and I have been. And have there been times when he kind of looks at you, and I say this because my husband will sometimes look at me and say, how do you have these conversations with people you really don't know? Because I'm married to a complete extrovert. I mean, he engages and talks all over the place to thousands of people, and that's what he does. But those intimate conversations he finds very challenging. And he kind of looks at me like, I don't get it. Like it, how do you do that? Does Mike ever question you like around conversations?
You know, not necessarily around like, how do I make it happen? And I will say like, Mike, probably like Tim, is like very well educated about like menopause and all sorts of things that he never knew that he would
know. Too much, actually.
Mike's great. He listens to my show. It's funny. He listens to it on, my son is a rower and Mike listens, we have an erg in our house and Mike will listen on an erg. And when the podcasts go over 30 minutes, he's like, I can't do it. I can't keep erging and listening. Like I need shorter podcasts so I can keep so I don't die on this erg over here. But you know, he's great. But you know, I do feel that men and women definitely, I don't want to be sexist, but I do think they have different styles of communication. My husband too is a big extrovert. He is hilarious and super fun at a party. He's great on a stage. He does a lot of public speaking for his work, but he will sometimes get on the phone with a college friend. And when I get off, I'm like, well, how's, you know, the wife and how's the kid? He has no idea. I'm like, what did you guys talk about? And it's like, I'm like this, I feel like I'm at a sitcom. I mean, how did you spend 30 minutes on the phone with this like super duper lifelong friend and leave knowing nothing? What were you guys talking about? So I do think that men and women have different styles of communication or perhaps just sort of different curiosity. I mean, I do think that women are able to I mean, again, anyone who's listening to the show is probably, if you're a mom, you've probably told complete strangers your birth story, you know?
Oh, and absolutely. We're big time sharers. Yeah.
Big time. And that's been sort of, I think, the charm of our shows and really why they're resonating, connecting is because we are having honest conversations with women about things that women want to know about. Like I, you know, joke that I like, you know, talk about dry vagina constantly, you know, menopause, you know, painful sex, low libido, all of the sort of, you know, physical challenges that come along with navigating perimenopause and menopause. I feel very comfortable doing that. And I think women really crave that kind of honest connection.
Yeah. Well, it's relevant information, you know, it's information that they need. And like, you know, I said, we're sharers. As soon as they hear it and then it resonates, and then all of a sudden they go to coffee with their friends and they're like, hey, did you happen to hear that? Because I'm dealing with that.
Yeah,
so I do think there's a difference between communication styles for sure.
Yeah. What I didn't know about menopause and midlife could fill like a set of encyclopedias. I mean,
I know.
I am astonished. The shows that I record that do really well are a lot of the doctor shows. I've done 15 shows on menopause and sex. They, you know, covering everything from testosterone therapy to low libido to sort of brain fog, painful sex, how to reignite your sex life. I think interviewed Tracy Cox.
She's fabulous.
Came on to talk about her book, Great Sex After 50, how to age proof your libido and transform your sex life. That show did really, really well. You know, I didn't know that there are these tools and resources out there to help. And what I've learned, I've had a pelvic floor therapist come on. I've had a urologist, you know, come on.
Amazing. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Said everyone should be able to laugh, run, sneeze, you know, get on a trampoline and not urine. And I think many of us have been sold this sort of bill of goods by pop culture that as you age, decrepitude's inevitable. You have to put up with things like, you know, not being able to sit in the middle seat at in a movie theater because like your fear of going to the bathroom. And none of those things are true. So
it's myth busting.
Help us out there. Yeah. Help us out there for any midlife challenge that women are navigating.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I've learned every podcast I do, I learn something. And I think that's the beauty of it too, because I think, you know, I'm always talking about embracing the lifetime learner. And, you know, really embracing being a novice again and learning. And that's part of midlife. I mean, we're constantly learning. And that's what keeps us confident and, you know, engaged and interesting and curious. We have to remain to be curious. I want to pivot to the kids for a minute because we both have three kids. I know you have one that's abroad. You have one that's a rower. Mine was a rower in college. We have a lot of similarities. And I'm curious to see how you feel your kids look at you now. You always had a very busy career. You have always been an executive, you know, career-driven woman. Whereas I stayed home for a long period of time and then kind of flipped the switch, you know, later in life. How do you think your kids view you? Like what that lens switches a little bit, doesn't it?
Right. Absolutely. It's such an interesting question. And Amy, yes, I've worked at different times when my kids were young, but I too was home during two different, my oldest daughter is 22. My youngest son is 15. I've got a 19-year-old in between. And during the 22 years that I've been a mom, I have spent two big sort of chunks of time being a stay-at-home mom. So I have experience going in and out of the paid workforce. And I know how hard it is to get back. I've watched my kids have to sort of reorient themselves to like a new schedule as I've returned to work. And I've experienced that. So, you know, I think in a couple different phases, my kids were, it was hard for them. They expected me to be able to carpool and do this and that. And I was occupied with, you know, my return to work. And so they had to kind of get on board with that. And it's challenging whenever the dynamics in a household shift, it can be challenging for people. I'll say it was challenging for my husband when I was like, you know what? I'm not the only one doing the PTA meetings any longer or the ones doing the parent teacher conferences. You know, I've taken some of that off your plate because you are traveling for work or you're in an office. But, you know, as I returned, you know, everyone had to reshift. Now that my kids are older and they've been watching me, I launched my day job is running a communications consultancy called the Reboot Group. I work with senior executives and small business owners and, you know, teams at big organizations to make them better at sharing their career stories. Because when you can tell your career story well, you can advocate for your company, your priorities, your own career, and your personal impact. I've been running that business for 8 or 9 years. That's actually part of the reason why I launched the podcast, because I was hearing a steady drumbeat of fear around ageism from my clients.
Yeah.
And finally, I was, you know, when I decided I needed this creative outlet. I was like, this is what I want to talk about. I spoke that week to a woman with two books on the New York Times bestseller list who told me she couldn't publicly admit to being 50. And I thought, that's literally insane. Like, this needs to stop. And I want to have this conversation. I want to spotlight women who are knocking it out of the park in midlife. They are they're experts that are helping women thrive, or they're women who are reinventing. They are like you, a stay-at-home mom who started a creative endeavor. I interviewed Merrill Brown, who was a stay-at-home mom for 13 years, and then built a multi-million dollar events company.
Amazing.
Once kids got older, you know, so
never too late.
It's never too late. And you and I know this, Amy. You talk to women every week. I talk to women every Monday who are reinventing, switching lanes, pivoting, launching creative endeavor, you know, launching businesses and making the most of midlife. And that's really what I wanted to spotlight. And I know that my kids admire this because they've told me so. And
yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
when you get a text and it's like, hey, mom, break a leg.
Wow. You know, or like, they love that. And my daughter listens to some of the shows. She's come with me to record. It's been really fun. And I hope I'm modeling what you're modeling, Amy, is that we're showing our kids that for them in their own lives, it is never too late to switch lanes. It is never too late to become the person that you were meant to be.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I do think we're paving the way in such a terrific way for the next generation. I mean, it's just the generation behind us. I think it's amazing. I know my daughter says the same thing. And when you get those texts and from my boys, I've got two boys, I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. Cause they are viewing you in a different light. And not that the light was dimmed, it was just different for me because we were moving so often. I was raising kids in a foreign country. I mean, it was very, very different. But then all of a sudden to make that switch, and I love the stories of reinvention because that's creating your highlight reel. It's looking at what you've done in the past and using those experiences to propel you forward. And we have to do that. So I love everything you're doing. And I love that your kids admire you for it. And, you know, there'll be times, I'm sure, as they get older, they'll sit back and share a funny story about something, you know, we recorded on the podcast or whatever. And that's what it's all about.
So what if I told you could double your confidence in 14 days? Would you be game? I definitely would cannonball into that. So let me introduce you to an incredible course that is being taught by my business partner, Kristen Cofield, the founder of The Culinary Cure, and myself, the founder of Fearlessly Facing 50. 14 lessons taught by us to double your confidence. All you have to do is go to betterthangossip.com and sign up today. If you sign up with three friends, you get your course for free. And the investment is basically probably a trip to the grocery store. It's not a huge investment, but it's investment in you that is the gift you should gift yourself this holiday season. You know, the program seamlessly combines wellness and mindset, so you solve the biggest confidence challenges that we face when building our businesses or just going along on our journeys. We need both mind and body confidence. If this sounds like you, not having enough energy to get everything done, frustrations with body image, poor sleep, inconsistent eating habits, self-doubt, negative thoughts, stress, lack of confidence, this course is for you. It's a proven, powerful online program that brings you videos, call to actions with worksheets and recipes, everything so that you can look and feel happier in your body and in your thoughts. So sign up today, Mind and Body Confidence, betterthangossip.com. You can find it there. You can find it on my website, fearlesslyfacing50.com.
Before we leave, I want to talk about one, your new mission that you just launched. I also want to ask you, because I know how busy you are running a business, plus your podcast, plus a new, you know, mission that you're really spearheading. What are your three tips for women, you know, around self-care? How do you really take care of yourself? Because it is, at least for me, I have found I took the summer off because I needed to recalibrate. I needed to refocus and just be. There were things that were going in the wrong direction for me that I needed to recalibrate on. And I think that happens. And I have no problem admitting that at all. And I actually think it's a bold thing to do because I think women at this age, we also, there is such a spotlight on us over 50 that it's like, well, if you're not overachieving over 50, then, you know, get out of the ballpark. Like you're worth nothing. And I think that has been a bit of an issue just because there is so much spotlight on this age now. I mean, you know, really there is. And so women that might be struggling finding their niche of what they want to continue to do may feel like, well, I'll never be able to do it at that level. So why try? But self-care is a big part of that. So what do you do? Because you're working, you know, I don't even know how many hours a week on the podcast, plus your job, you know, the company that you own. So walk me through that.
You know, I will say, first of all, I love that you took time off for yourself and you needed it. I think that we all define our own measures of success. Nobody needs to launch a multi-million dollar events company. Maybe you just want to volunteer at your church.
Exactly.
You know? Or maybe you simply wanted to, you know, get healthier and incorporate movement into your life. I mean, having an amazing midlife is so personal.
Yep.
And I think everyone needs to define that for themselves. And no one should feel pressure to measure yourself by a false yardstick.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Social media is it presents a very one dimension of what it means to live an authentic, happy, purposeful life and define it for yourself. Yeah. You know, for me, one of the things that I've defined for myself is that I'm a better, happier, nicer person when I am doing yoga. So my self-care tip would be to put this on the calendar and make it non-negotiable. You know, the downside to having a podcast, three kids, a husband, a pandemic puppy, and a day job is that I work 7 days a week. And I want to be candid about that. You know, there 7 days a week I'm working. Am I working 24/7? No. You know, I'm able to, because I work for myself on both projects, I'm able to define and calendar my time, and getting yoga onto the calendar 3 days a week at least is sort of a non-negotiable. Mm. So that would be number one. Number two, self-care is also educating myself about how to care for my body. You know, I'm fortunate that my podcast really has, you know, all the doctor shows that I do tell me what I need to know about how to care for myself. Yeah. And I am working with the medical team that gets menopause. You know, my OBGYN, my doctor, they understand some of the challenges of midlife, and I'm making sure that I'm being supported. You know, I'm using like vaginal estrogen. I'm happy to tell you that. I'm also using some topical creams that, you know, show sponsors have introduced me to. You know, yeah. I am learning what I need to do to take care of my body, and I'm practicing that. So that would be my second self-care tip. Find a doctor who gets it.
Yeah.
Full stop. And number three, it's like I make time for things that I enjoy. And self-care is, you know, taking a walk with my husband. Yeah. It's about sometimes I joke, I'll pretend I'm a cat and I will literally lay in a patch of sun on my living room rug.
Yeah.
This is not glamorous. Maybe it's weird, but it's
super
accessible to anyone. I'm like, I'm just going to lay down for 10 minutes and just feel the sun on my face.
Yes.
So I would say self-care does not need to be a spa day. It does not need to be super indulgent. It doesn't need to be expensive. You know, what is that little moment of peacefulness? Maybe it's a cup of tea, you know, maybe it's a walk.
Absolutely.
With a friend.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be fancy. Just figure out what works for you, what helps reset your brain, what gives you a moment of peace, and then go for it.
Yeah, I think that's so valuable. I love the sunshine part of it, because living in Europe for so long, you know, on those days in Germany when it would be sunny, people would be outside and just getting that sun. I'm one of those people that has that mood disorder, you know, the shift when we're so dark and all of that. I love
the East Coast. We have a lot of dark days on the East Coast during the winter.
Yes, exactly. So let's talk about this new mission that you have launched.
Yes.
And I was very happy. Thank you for making me a part of it early
of course,
on.
I loved it. Thrilled to that you jumped in, and you're so supportive of the midlife. So for your listeners, my podcast is called A Certain Age. It comes out every Monday. But the nature of a podcast is I can feature one woman once a week. And the reality of midlife is that it's like a 24/7 midlife awesomeness situation. There are women doing incredible things, whether it's launching new things or just volunteering or reinventing their lives. And I wanted to spotlight more of them. And I wanted it to be an open community platform. So I launched a new Instagram account, Age Out Loud. And you can find it on Instagram at Let's Age Out Loud.
Exactly.
And there's there's a link in the bio that allows women to submit their own stories. You know, on a podcast, I have to say yes to a guest. I've got to book them and put them on. But this is an opt-in situation. Mm-hmm. Women can choose to share their stories. And I want to spotlight a wider range of women who are aging out loud, who know their age stands for something, and who are doing new things in midlife. Because when we see people's stories, when we hear them, it inspires us, or at the very least, it inspires me. And I know it inspires you. So that is my latest. You know, we're not going to shift the narrative that aging makes you dated or irrelevant or, you know, not marketable in the economy, unless we're willing to age out loud.
Yeah, so true. I love it. I think you've done a great job with it. And I'll link it to the episode notes so everybody
can
follow. But it's just been great. And it certainly has introduced me to some people that I would have never known. And I think that's what it's all about. And then so continue to share, continue doing what you're doing. I think it's amazing. Katie, if you were sitting on the couch and there you were at 30, what advice would you give her?
Oh my gosh, this is such a good question and it's tricky. You know, I would say, I would say keep going. You know, that right now when you feel you're sort of in the middle of your career, you just had a baby and you're wondering if she's ever going to sleep. That's exactly where I was at 30. I was probably breastfeeding a very cranky baby on a sofa. And I would say, keep going. There's so much happiness in store for you. Your life is going to turn out amazing. You're going to, you know, you're going to navigate some hard stuff. You're going to have a lot of joy and happiness on the other side of it. And, you know, I would also just say, you know, wear more sunblock.
I love that. Yes. I was just in the dermatologist and they're like, Amy, that chest. I'm like, I hear you. I love it. Thank you.
I would say keep going and wear sunblock.
Yep. Perfect. Perfect way to end this. Thanks so much, Katie. I love you. You're awesome.
This was such a treat. Thank you for the invitation, Amy.
You bet. We'll be in touch.
Okay. So I hope that this episode inspired you, encouraged you, and challenged you. Because when we share our stories, they're inspiring. You know what? It's important for people to connect. Connection is key. People need people. So as you go forward this week or today, be a difference maker, be a change maker, not only in your life, but in somebody else's. Reach out with a text, an email, or a phone call. Connection is key. It builds community and it builds confidence. Go forth and be awesome, and I'll see you soon.